It's Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
I've brought you the greatest gift of all.
Oh, yeah?
Well, in that case...
Entertain me!
It's showtime!
Make use of the help that God puts around you.
We are not a glum lot.
A promise is a promise.
It's very simple. Just don't drink and go to meetings.
Give time.
Easy does it. But do it.
Want to have self-esteem? Just do esteemable things.
One day at a time.
We carry the message, not the alcoholic.
Don't quit before the miracle happens.
Hey, with an effective character, three guys sitting around talking about our personal experience in recovery. Hey, I'm Mike.
I'm Dennis.
And James here.
The opinions are our own without representing any particular organization, institution, or fellowship. Today, we'll be sharing our experience talking about toxic people in recovery in episode 235 of the Defective Characters podcast. Let's go.
Woohoo!
Toxicity of a city. You remember that song, boys?
Yeah. System of a Down. It's a great song.
System of a Down. What a time. James, how's everything been the last week, my friend?
Last week, I reorganized my kitchen cabinets, and boy, are they nice. But I still haven't reorganized my bedroom drawers, so that'll come in due time. Getting ready to go down to Miami. I've been working a lot. I picked up a shift today. Usually I have off. I didn't exercise very much last week because I kind of pulled something. And
did you pull the finger?
He didn't like that joke.
He did not like that joke at all. He thought that joke was absolutely terrible.
Wow.
Well, that's short and sweet. We'll get back to James when he gets back in. Dennis, how was everything?
Everything's all right. This past week, my dad was sick with like a stomach bug or something, and then he got better, and then my mom got it, and then she got over it really quickly in like a day, and then today I woke up not feeling very well. But I don't think it's that bad. I feel kind of blah, but I think I'll be okay. Yeah, so that's been my weekend. Other than that, working on Minecraft. I will say, you know how like a week or two ago, I got like dental work done?
Yeah.
And I had stitches in, and my jaw was hurting like really bad for like the whole week or however long it's been. But then I had the stitches were the self-dissolve stitches, and as soon as like the day and the moment that they like dissolved and went away, my jaw stopped hurting. Like it was the
really
stitches. It was the stitches like killing it, and like then you know it's not fully healed yet, but like it's definitely like on its way, where the whole time the stitches were in, it just hurt like all the time. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, the dissolving stitches. I mean, I get that they're good, but I hated them. I would always like if I have something on the say I like bite the side of my cheek or anything else, I keep like trying to chew that, and I did that with the dissolving stitches, and they're like, don't do it. So you can rip it out before it's actually ready and healed. And it's just like that much more of a pain.
Yeah. I mean, mine were all right. It hurt. And I didn't really realize it was the stitches until they came out and it instantly like stopped hurting as much.
Yeah.
But other than that, like I didn't like the string or anything like that didn't like bother me or anything. But
gotcha.
But it was all right. But other than that, I've just been working hard on the Minecraft stuff, doing Minecraft stuff. That's about it.
Nice. James, I made a joke about pulling a finger, and then you obviously didn't like the joke, so you just hung up, and you didn't.
I finished my monologue, and then I was like, guys,
So from pulling something, how's everything been?
So I took the week off because I did that, and I just realized that if I'm going to be exercising in the foreseeable future, I don't need to go and make things worse if I pull something. So I talked about – oh, I watched Dennis's first episode of the new SMP.
What'd you think about it?
It was fun. Did you see my comment I left?
Yes, I commented back on it.
Hooray. Yeah, it was a beautiful location, and I like everything you did.
Yeah.
Now, I'm watching a new series on HBO called The Regime with Kate Winslet.
It's good, right?
Oh, no. Do you have my account?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm canceling it.
Why?
Oh. Just kidding. Yeah.
I've watched the first two episodes, I think.
Yeah, I just watched the third episode. And I've just been picking up a lot of shifts, working a lot. I actually took off yesterday, which was nice. And I look forward to seeing the boys this weekend. So.
Yeah, when do you go? Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Okay. Nice. That's going to be awesome.
Can I add something? Right after the last time we recorded an episode, we all went out to lunch, and I had a hamburger for the first time in years. And then I went shopping outside of the bubble with James, and I survived.
You did. You got some cool shirts. Did they fit?
I haven't washed them yet, so I haven't put them on my body yet.
Wonderful.
I never like washing shirts because then they completely change and then nothing ever fits.
Yeah, but these are from like Goodwill, so I'm gonna wash them.
well, and also that they probably then have already been washed, so the size that they are, regardless, should be the same.
Yeah,
It was funny. I was looking at shirts, and Dennis came up to me. He's like, "You know, these are like the small child's section." And I was like, "Oh, I know." And then I kept looking. He's like, "Why are you still here?" I was like, "Well, this is what my wife fits into, and it's twice as it. It's less expensive."
Yeah.
And James spends all his time shopping for his wife.
Well, a lot of time. It's fun. I do it for you guys too.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Indeed.
Oh, very, very cool. Yeah, so we went out to eat, and the past week was really fun. Olivia had her very first field day, and I was able to – I'm making every effort I possibly can to make sure I don't miss out on any moments. And she had field day, and it was really tough. My boss was giving me a little guff, and he's like, maybe you should take the whole day. You shouldn't – and – we ended up making it all work, and I got out of there at 9:30 so I could get to field day at 10. There was maybe 8 different stations of activities. She only really had interest in like 2, maybe 2.5 of them. Tug of war. There was a cone flip one and one where you run around with a chicken. Not a real chicken, by the way, a rubber chicken, one made of rubber. And, so that was a fun time. She was supposed to be on 2 back-to-back cruises with her mom this week for spring break. And I ended up over the weekend, I got a text that my ex-wife's fiance's mom suddenly passed away unexpectedly while they were on the cruise. So they, Olivia, my daughter, she stayed on and with the grandparents, and I guess they left and went to where the services are this week. So I didn't think I was going to have her for like a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, but now I'm going to have her. So, I don't wish ill upon anybody, but I'm glad that I can, step up and see her this week, because I didn't think I was going to be able to. So I think we're gonna, I don't know if you have any desire to see a movie, Dennis or James, if you're not working, you probably will be working, but I think A little bit later this week, we're going to go see Kung Fu Panda 4. And yeah, should be a good time. Jack Black's still making those. So yeah, and everything else has been good. I had a work event with Tim McGraw on Saturday. So we did that. And I got a gift of a autographed baseball that I'm going to give my stepmother for Mother's Day, because she's a big Tim McGraw fan. So I got like a case and everything else. So just in it, that's, I think, something that I picked up from James the last bunch of years of, like, you know, giving gifts, because I never would do that. I was pretty good with like words of affirmation and actually giving, you know, those and making sure people knew. But when it comes to something that really just costs the amount for a case to put the ball in, it's something I know she'll enjoy. So I was going to try to get more so that way you guys could have them, but Tim wasn't having it. So
he wouldn't. Why did Tim McGraw sign a baseball?
Well, here's the fun fact, right? So his dad, who he early on in life was estranged to because he didn't, his mom, Tim McGraw's mother, didn't tell him that his dad was actually the famous Philadelphia Phillies baseball pitcher, Tug McGraw.
Oh, wow.
So he didn't know all of his life. He had no idea that his dad was a baseball player up until he was, I think he was like 18. And then he had a great relationship the rest of his dad's life with him. But because of that, he has great memories with his dad, still being a baseball player and all that stuff when, you know, before his country career kicked off. So it was, yeah. So anyway, that was like an ode to his dad. He signed like a baseball cool. and did it. So yeah. Yeah. And a guitar is just so big, you know, to sign a guitar.
And more expensive.
Yeah. And then I would have to ship it. It would have been a whole thing. So I'm glad that it's, you know, small memento that I could do. So James came up with this week's topic, talking about toxic people in recovery. How'd you come up with it? And you could start with your share, James.
What was the one I picked last week? I can't remember. Do you remember, Dennis?
I don't.
Marijuana in recovery.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
It's probably a good thing I didn't remember that. Yeah. So toxic people in recovery. I bring this up because in a day-to-day life, mainly at work, but also sometimes with the people you surround yourself with in early recovery, they can be toxic, even though they mean well. People have some character defects and traits that can be really draining for you. So I thought it would be good if we just talked about, maybe identify the different types of toxic people and what we can do to kind of, I don't know, put up healthy boundaries and maybe just get rid of these people altogether if possible. And, you know, I want to say that there's some old timers in rooms, in the AA room sometimes. And, you know, they can, we're obviously not going to be using names, but they can be mean sometimes. And I know recovery should come first. But I come from a place of, having a healthy heart and being kind. I don't think that being mean to a newcomer is the way to go. So I kind of stay away from those kind of people. It may or may not be considered toxic. I know my sponsor comes from a place where, you know, he says the old timers are very harsh and maybe they're saving lives, but I guess there's a fine boundary. At work, there's like a select group of people. I can probably count them on my one hand that are, they're gossip. So they're always talking about other people and it's never good. Like, it's just gossip. I think it can be considered bad, right? Like, if you're saying something good, it's not gossip. Or if it's not true or something like that. But the way I deal with gossips is I just say nothing. I kind of say, oh, is that so? And then don't feed into it. And they'll look at me and they'll be like, they'll realize that I have nothing to say. And then they'll go on and say it to someone else. And it's the funniest thing. Other kinds of toxic people I've encountered are manipulators. And, you know, I have been a manipulator my whole drinking career. And for the past 7 years, it's kind of been eased out of me. Like, I can manipulate my wife to a degree, but whenever I catch myself doing it, I have to step back and she'll look at me. She's like, is this for me or is this for you? And I'm like, oh. And, you know, I've encountered some friends that you just see the manipulation in them. They just try to get everything perfect and do everything their way. And they don't care what corners they cut in order to get what they want. And what I do is I just kind of go with the flow, but I don't find myself hanging out with those kind of people over and over again. If they continue to be manipulative, like, then I don't want to hang out with them because it's not my cup of tea. And judgmental people, I do a discipleship group at church, and there's one individual, he's just a wonderful man, but he's like, whenever anything comes up, like about politics or just like not Christian, he's so judgmental, and he'll say, you know, like things like, oh, hell's got a good place for them. And I'm just like, oh, I just shut her up and I can't stand it. And I don't think I could ever hang out with this person outside of the group, because that's just not kind. That's not even a Christian way, you know, to be that judgmental. I don't know. I guess all of these have been taxing on me. I had another one. Oh, narcissist, when it's all about them, you know. Are you guys still there? Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we're here.
Like Dennis, he's like the biggest narcissist I know.
Yeah.
And it's always about him in Minecraft. I'm just kidding. I just wanted to.
That's such a blatant joke. Dennis, you can't be upset. He just texted me that his feelings were hurt.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Dennis. That was finger tapping.
I would leave the recording, but I'm afraid I wouldn't get back in.
Those are just a few examples. And I guess if I ever have a problem with any of them, it's probably because I have a problem with myself, because I have all those characteristics too. So I have to go to God and ask for forgiveness and try to be less judgmental, less manipulative. I need to gossip less, and I got to stop thinking about myself. So, yeah. What do you guys got?
Yeah. I'll go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
I like all the examples that you gave. I think this could apply to inside and outside of the rooms. Like Indeed. You gave, like James gave examples with. And it is true, you know, like always, like I've heard my sponsor and other sponsors and other people say, you know, this is AA, you know, we all came in here with problems. We're all not perfect. You know, there's a reason why we're all here. So you do run into like different personality traits and stuff that can be considered toxic, you know. James touched on a lot of the good ones. You know, narcissism is a big one that you do see in AA and in the world. And, you know, I know I'm not narcissistic, so I didn't take offense to that joke at all. But, like, it's definitely like anyone that is always talking about themselves. And it comes, you know, it's in, you know, can be correlated to our selfishness, you know, as alcoholics, when we're out there and we're using, you know, we are selfish and we are self-centered, that like our lives in the universe revolve around us and we have little consideration for other people. So even though people get sober, you know, that trait can linger for a little bit, you know. Then you also have the gossips that he touched on, which I think he explained it very well. You know, you don't feed into it and you don't participate in the gossip. It's the best you can do. Some other ones that I think of is, you know, there's people that are just always negative, you know, very contrarian, that no matter what, like, someone says, if it's someone that, like, is sharing about anything, whether it's good or bad, they always have something to say, and they'll mumber it under their breath if they're sitting next to you or something, like, oh, I can't believe that, or, you know, or like, oh, that's not that bad, or, oh, they're being dramatic, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. It's just rude, you know, it's nasty. But, like, there is a, you know, in the concept of contrarian, a contrarian is basically someone who is, no matter what you say, always has the opposite to say back, you know, and I can be guilty of that as well. I've seen that in myself throughout my life. And it's something that I do consciously aware of and try not to do. But there's not much you can do with that, because if they're not aware that they're being contrarian, then they're just going to always be argumentative, you know? So you just avoid it. You try not to have conversations that are argumentative with them. You know, I think you do, kind of touching on like the old timers things, and what I see is, like, you do get some old timers who are kind of hardened. And maybe, yeah, they grew up in another culture, another time, another world or whatever, where, like, you know, they come from a time period where men don't cry and, like, all of this kind of stuff. And they hold on to that, even though, you know, they don't remember, like, 40, 50 years ago when they first came in the rooms, they probably shed a tear, you know what I'm saying? And so, I don't know, it feels like some of them have, like, hard hearts and are kind of insensitive to, like, the struggles that young people do go through that aren't necessarily the same struggles that they went through, even though everyone went through struggles. So they have a hard time empathizing with them and stuff. But, you know, I don't know. I've known alcoholics that like the hard dictator type sponsorship, and then I know others like me who that would not work with. You know, I need a little more empathy and a little more understanding. And I remember one time after your two sponsors, or, you know, Mike and James's sponsor shared one time, and he was talking about, like, something along the lines of being that hardcore New York style recovery or whatever. And then I shared right after him with, like, a metaphor or whatever that, like, you know, when I came into the rooms and the state that I was in, it wasn't the, like, people sitting there throwing rocks at me and telling me what I need to do and how bad I've been and all of this kind of stuff that kept me coming back to the rooms. It was the people that opened up their arms and told me everything was going to be okay and were, like, nice, you know, that brought me to the rooms. So there is a, like, there are those type of people that are really hard and, like, really, like, can be rude at times. And I think that that does push people away sometimes, even if that's the way it was done in the old school, like, whatever, grow, evolve, you know, like, tackle those character defects, you know, because that's what we're about. But yeah, I'm rambling. So what do you have, Mike?
Thank you, Dennis. It's funny. I don't know if you guys would consider yourselves the toxic person before you hit the rooms, but I definitely was. You know, I look back at conversations that I had with people, and they were, my big thing was all about me and gossip. And I make jokes now and I go, hey, you hear a rumor that I just made up, and then I'll say something. But that's what I would do all the time. Anytime I got a little juicy nugget, that was negative about somebody else. I'm not proud of it. I'm just saying it to be honest, that's definitely who I was. And unfortunately, I still had those people that would tell me this info in my life in the first year into sobriety. That was the biggest thing that I couldn't wrap my head around about, how is this getting me closer to a drink or a drug? And then it was like, well, do you think your higher power would want that? Or would he probably want you to be nicer to your neighbor, you know, and to not actually push this, you know? So then I ended up replacing the gossiping with, if somebody was going through a tough time and I heard it, providing acts of service for them. And if I heard good news about somebody, unless it was a secret, then I would promote that and say like, hey, you know, if I guess this is a little bit of good news, like if I knew that it wasn't a secret or something not to be had, where it's like, oh, hey, this person just got a promotion, blah blah blah, if you see him, say congratulations, you know. When in the past I would have a lot of jealousy, so like I myself was a toxic person, and it took me a long time to rid myself of that, and even longer to notice and rid myself when other people are toxic, because something that I adopted that I think was unhealthy was thinking that toxic people, that I could change them by letting them see that I was like that. And I have a great day today because I don't have that in my life. And we easily know that it's about attraction rather than promotion in every sense of the way, you know, like, I could say my life is great today, and if somebody asks how, then I will tell them about the principles. If it's somebody that knows that I'm in AA, I give all the credit to AA for what that is. And there's a lot of people that don't get it, that are in my circle but outside the AA circle, and I just give the credit to the principles and actually keeping my side of the street clean and using the slogans to do that, because I guess in the room, some of the worst things that I've seen sometimes are just actions of body language. If somebody's sharing and I'm sitting next to somebody or across from someone else and I'm seeing them roll their eyes or make a big thing, they can't take that someone else is taking the attention away from what they think it should be on, which in my opinion is primarily themselves. You know, of if the share is going too long, tapping their wristwatch, or, you know, I would look at that, and if I was God, I would be ashamed of that person and their actions. That seems like so your will, not his will, that it's unsettling, and it usually will prevent me from being in the line of sight of that person, or making sure that I don't look at it. Or I had a sponsee, this was a couple years ago, that would say, you close your eyes during meetings. What are you doing? Are you meditating? And I wouldn't name the person because I wouldn't want them to think, because that would be gossiping, right? If we named the people that we're talking about, that wouldn't be right. But the right thing is...
Sorry, full disclosure, ahead. I close my eyes in meetings. It helps me focus on listening.
Yeah. I mean, I would do it because, and I told them, I said, there's certain people in the meetings that distract me away from the real message, you know, and I don't want, if I know that there are people in the rooms that don't like each other and also act like children, then I don't want to be distracted away from the channel to my higher power, which is whatever either Dennis or James or anybody else in the rooms is sharing that day. So I make sure to stay focused, and I'm able to do that with a little bit of help, you know, by using some of those tactics. But I think toxic people are always going to be around. It's just knowing and not being afraid that you can't save somebody else. So if you're still around toxic people because of a reason of you think that they'll be able to snap out of it one day, that's not up to you to be able to do. You know, if you've given it enough time and you find yourself bogged down by it, that's getting closer to a drink or a drug, you know, with that toxic poison in that person and what they do. So I always look at it and I go, you know what, you're better than that. And I would hope that one day they are too. But in the meantime, I think I'll just keep coming back. So that's my share. Anything else to wrap it up? Dennis or James?
Dennis. Wow.
I got. Oh, go on.
I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
Wow.
But I was just going to add a little tidbit. A long time ago, someone told me, like, before you diagnose yourself as being depressed, just make sure you're not surrounded by a-holes. And it's true. Like, sometimes you can find yourself in groups of friends or groups of people or coworkers or something where you're like, you know, you always just feel bad, but you didn't realize that, like, you're there's just assholes around you and you don't like that energy, you know?
Wow. Nice, Dennis. I'm glad, yeah. Glad you dropped that nugget in. Well, we'll be back next week. And I don't know, Dennis, we can rock, paper, scissor on who has next week's episode. I forget whose turn it is, but we'll be ready. We'll be back next Thursday sharing our experience, strength, and hope with episode 236. With an effective characters, entirely ready to have all these character defects. Just remember, a toxic person only changes their victims, never themselves. And we'll see you next time.
Woohoo!